to share a little bit out of the book of Matthew, chapter 28. I want to share some things with you about the resurrection. And maybe we'll have a little bit of a different perspective. How many knows perspective is good? God gives us perspective. And that simply means it's the same thing. It's just that we see it a different way, in a different light. And I think one of the greatest things God can do is give us a fresh perspective. Look at things different. How many know sometimes God changes things? And sometimes he changes the way I see things. Amen. And so the most remarkable story ever told in the Bible, and there's some very good stories. How many of us, the Bible is a book of extremes. There's a lot of extremes in the Word of God. And one of the most extreme things that's recorded in the Word of God is that Jesus, the Son of God, was taken to the court of Pilate and the Roman guards, and they beat him and whipped him and tore away his flesh, and he didn't. The Bible says he didn't even look like a human when they got finished with him, and he did all that to pay our way, to pay the way for us today to have life more abundantly. And then he went up on the cross and had those holes in his feet and holes in his hands and holes in his side. How extreme can you get to crucify the very Son of God that these religious people claim to worship? Unbelievable, isn't it? But how many knows, they may have put him in the grave, they may have put him in the tomb, but he's not there today. Amen. Darlene said a while ago, I like that. She said, he moved the tomb. She meant to say he moved the stone, but she said he moved the tomb. But how many knows, it's okay, he can move tombs too. Amen. It's time we get out of those graveyards, amen? Let's turn to Matthew 28 and let's read from the following verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. I believe this is the NIV. We'll see when we get started. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. Talking about the angel. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. How many thinks they might have fallen to the ground? The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." I'm telling you what, this angel, he was a BA, wasn't he? I mean, he was a big angel. He was, I don't know what you're thinking. He's a big angel, and I'm telling you what, rolled the stone away, brought an earthquake up on the ground, did all these tremendous things, and the Bible's so full of all these extremes, shook the foundations of the planet, dead men were rising up out of the grave. I'll tell you what, it was just quite a sight to see. But these women had come to the tomb that day with spices to anoint and to prepare the body of Jesus and to do all the things that they did in those Jewish traditions back in those days. And they were quite surprised when they got there and found out that Jesus was not there. In fact, Jesus was already walking around someplace. Jesus was on a Sunday morning stroll. He wasn't just sitting in there waiting for people to come and see him. He was walking around. He was on a stroll, and we know that his earthly mission had been fulfilled. He had been obedient to the Word of God. He gave his life. He was beaten and for us, and then he was hung on the cross for us, and all of that. He had completed his earthly mission, which was to save us, but he had not yet ascended to the Father. He had finished one work, but he had not started the other work. Say this with me. He was somewhere in between. He arose. He had all power. He had all authority, but yet he had not ascended to the throne. His mission was not yet complete. And I just want to share a couple thoughts with you about that this morning, then I'll get out of your way, let you go home and have your Easter egg hunt and your Easter lunch today. He was somewhere in the middle. He was somewhere in the middle. How many knows he's the man in the middle? Remember the song, The Man in the Middle, when Jesus was in the middle? One guy was on one side of the cross, one guy was hung on the other side, and Jesus was in the middle? We call it the middleman. Well, he's in between his the raising from the dead and rising in his ascension. And so he's in between. How many know sometimes we get caught in between? Shem ministered here one of the days during the ladies' conference about how that we'd await on God, you know, when we've prayed, but we haven't heard the answer. We're kind of like in between. I preached a message years ago on in the hallway. We're not in the bedroom. We're not in the living room. We're not in the kitchen, but we're in the hallway. And how many knows nobody camps out in the hallway? Nobody wants to settle down and eat dinner in the hallway. And sometimes in life, we find ourselves in the hallway or in between our prayer and in between the answer. We find ourselves in between. What do we do when we are found in the middle, okay? How many knows in Missouri, it's not hot right now, but it's not cold. It's somewhere in between. And don't try to guess the weather for tomorrow because it's just unpredictable. But in places, you know, it said at the dawn of the day. You know what the dawn of the day was? It was the ending of the night, but it was the beginning of the day. The sun had not quite peaked up over the clouds. At night was giving away to the sun. And Jesus said, they said it was at the dawn of a new day. God wants to do something new. He wants to show you how to live in between the prayer, the answer, and in between the morning and the night, the hot and the cold. And so that's what we're going to talk about for just a little bit. You may not be the best Christian in the world, but you're not the worst Christian in the world. Huh? You may still be wrestling with a habit. But you're not hung up on all the habits. Come on now. Sometimes we think I just could never be a Christian like them. You know, a lot of us are in between. I'm not the best pastor in the world. I'll be the first to tell you that. And I'd like to hear a good amen. I'm not the best pastor in the world. But now listen, this ought to get a better amen. I'm not the worst pastor in the world either. You guys were a little afraid to say amen too loud on the first one, right? Sometimes we're in between. We're never all there we've never all arrived. In fact, the Bible says we'll never arrive to the maturity that God wants us to have, but we're striving for maturity. Are you still with me? Now, we're on planet Earth today. One of these days, we're going to be going to heaven, and there's a lot of people asking Jesus to come quickly and get me out of this mess. But how many knows while we're here between heaven and earth, thank God we need a Savior. We need somebody to help us get from one point to the next point. That's what the ministry of Jesus is all about. Amen. We need Him in between our situations. Anybody ever need Him in between? Come on, just wave your hand at me if you've ever need Him in between. I appreciate it, Lord, that you're coming one of these days to get me out of here. But in the meantime, I think I preached that one time too. In the meantime, we've got a few troubles down here, and we need somebody in between to help us get through those mean times, those bad times. Amen. So notice here what the angel said. Let's get back to our scripture. He said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here," and I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit. "He's not here where you expected Him to be. He's not dead, which is the last way you saw Him. He's not lying in this place anymore. He's risen, just as He said. Won't He do what He promised He would do? Now come and see the place where He lay. Then quickly go and tell His disciples that He's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you, and He'll meet you in Galilee." Galilee's about 80 miles from where they are. Jesus says, now you go on and head out to, or this angel says, you go on and head out to Galilee, and there you will meet Jesus. Now the Bible says they hurried, they left in a hurry, but they were afraid. They had joy that He had been risen, but they were afraid. Everybody say afraid and full of joy. It sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But the Bible says they were frightened, they were scared, afraid, but they said, "I want you to go, and I want you to get to where Jesus is at." And the Bible said they left as quickly as they could. How many knows that you can be afraid and still be filled? They were afraid but filled with joy. They were afraid but filled with joy. Have you ever been afraid of something but you knew it wasn't going to kill you, so you still had the joy of the Lord? When my wife got the report that she had had a stroke, I was in Uganda, Africa, preaching a conference, and I couldn't get an airplane out. And my heart, man, I had one of those panic attacks. I don't think I ever had one before in my life, but I felt so helpless. I felt so helpless, but at the same time, I heard this small voice saying, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. I couldn't get to her. In fact, she was in the hospital the whole time I was gone, and I wasn't able to get to her, and she didn't get out until the day I got home. Am I off?
It's cutting out. Let's turn it off.
Thank you. Can you hear me now? Amen. And so, you know, you're in this position of where, oh, I'm afraid. Am I going to make it? Am I going to get the job? Am I going to get the raise? I'm afraid. Is my children ever going to come back to God? But yet you can be filled with joy because you know who God is. So you might have that sense of being frightened, but at the same time, you can be full of the joy of the Lord. And how many knows the joy of the Lord is your strength? So they hurried away. They were afraid, yet they were filled. So we can be empty, but still know the solution and how it's going to work out, because God knows how to be faithful. Amen. In other words, you know, I was thinking when I was preparing this, I was thinking about Jessica and Chris. I was thinking how when they started that business, you know, they felt like God wants them to start this business. I know what he wants us to do, but then in the back of their mind, there might have been these thoughts of, well, I don't know how we're going to get the money. I don't know how we're going to be able to do this. I don't know. Am I going to have to quit my good paying job to start this business? And had all these questions, but yet they knew in their heart that that's what God wanted them to do. Anybody ever been there? You know what God wants you to do, but you have to wrestle with the flesh. I know God told me to start this business, but dear Lord, how long is it going to be before I get a paycheck? How many of those, when you start your own business, sometimes it's over a year before you get your first check? Is that right? Or five? Yeah, four or five, you know? I don't know exactly how this is going to turn out. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know that God that is with me will be with me through this whole thing, and I know it's going to be good in the end. They got to the grave. He wasn't there. They didn't know what to think about it. And the angel said, well, go on to Galilee. Take an 80-mile hike. How many know that's a 3 or 4 day walk? Take an 80-mile hike, and you'll meet Jesus there. What do we do in times like that? That's a good time to say, I'll throw up my hands and praise him again and again and again. It's a good time to say, I think I'll just praise God anyhow. It's a good time to say, you know what? He can turn graves into gardens, so I'm not going to sit here and pout about where is Jesus. Amen? Woo, this is going to get good. Are you ready? The Bible says they were afraid yet filled. Now listen, yet is a conjunction. Jesus, stay with me, is our conjunction. In other words, Jesus is our in-between. Between the empty tomb and Galilee, Jesus is our in-between. And if we can just hang on to that thought, Jesus will always be your in-between. So you don't know which way you're going. The map, how many knows Google Maps is not always right? Have you ever been told turn here and there was no here to turn? How many detest this voice? As soon as possible, find a place to turn around and go the other direction. Recalculating, yeah. Listen, sometimes we just don't know. But that's when we throw up our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, God. I know you've got this. My life is in your hands. I don't have any reason to worry. Jesus is my conjunction. Amen. He's my in-between. He's my not finished with the sentence yet. That's what a conjunction is. I've got, here's first part, but the conjunction is, and there's something else that goes on the end of this. I think I'm getting more blessed than you are today. Sometimes it's all good, sometimes it's all grief. But how many know sometimes it's part good and part grief? When I was in Africa, I grieved. I had a panic attack. I was concerned about my wife sitting in a hospital room My wife's sitting in a hospital room and couldn't do anything about it. And I couldn't do anything about it. And I needed the peace of God on my in-between. I mean, there's a great gulf between Uganda and St. Louis. There's a great gulf. And I had to trust God to be my in-between. And I filled my, that night I didn't sleep a wink. I kept my tape player, that was the days of cassette players. I kept it playing over and over and over and repeat and repeat and repeat all night long because I needed the word of God to be planted in me to root out that worry and to root out that fear. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, you know, my marriage may not be perfect, but maybe it's better than it used to be. You know, some people say, well, I don't have a good marriage. Well, why don't you start saying it's better than it used to be? How about saying it's getting better? Huh? My salary is not as good as it should be. Well, start saying I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. Is this all right today? You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, y'all know this verse, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who are called according to his purpose. It does not say everything will always be all good. People have translated that verse wrong. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be all good. But here's what it does say. When it's not all good, God will still be all God. I like that, don't you? It's not all good, but it's all God. Because God has a way of turning it for our favor. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. I was handed a book just a few years ago by a lady that used to attend this church, by Viktor Frankl. And it was he's the Austrian psychologist. And he made one of the statements in there. And I want to just read it for you here. He makes this statement. It says, between the stimulus and the response, there is space. Between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. Now, that simply means is from the time of action until the reaction, there's a space. Now, what are you going to do with that space? What's going to be, what are you thinking about before the reaction? Are you with me this morning? You know, it's in that space that we have the power to choose the right thing. And many times, how many knows we don't choose the right thing? Huh? There's always a space between the stimulus and the response. Let me give you an example. Suppose Lou comes up here just while I'm preaching and he just slaps me in the hand real hard. Now, I have to think about that for a minute. Am I going to kick him in the shoulder? Probably not, because I can't get that high. Am I going to kick him in the gut? No, I can't get that. I might kick him in the leg, yeah. He hits me on the hand, and my response, I've got a little time here to think about this, to let it go, or to respond. What am I going to do? How many's ever done the wrong thing? Let me see your hand. Come on, let me see your hand. All right, I'm in the right church today. Thank you, Lord, for this word. So between the time he slaps me and the time that I hit him is the stimulus and the response. Now, these women have seen the empty tomb. They're afraid, but yet they have a response to Jesus to go and find him 80 miles away. Let me tell you something. 80 miles in Bible days was a long way to go. Can I hear an amen? It was a long way. I mean, even today, I wouldn't want to walk 80 miles. It's 60 miles from here to the St. Louis Arch, and it's another 20 miles on up past the airport. So listen, that's a little bit of a walk. I could probably ride my bike there, but I wouldn't want to, okay? Ha ha. Okay, let's talk about this. The cross was God's response to your sin. Your sin was the stimulus, but God's response was the cross. Your failure, God's response was the cross. God looked down and he said, my people need, let's call him a space maker. Jesus could be that space maker. How about filling that space up between the stimulus and the response with Jesus? Say it with me. Jesus is the space maker. If you'll fill Jesus with that space maker, you will generally make the right choices. Amen? God's response to your sin could have been wrath, but thank God it was mercy. Thank God it was grace. I couldn't come to him, but he could come to me. My sins separated me from him, so I couldn't go to him, but because of his love for humanity, Jesus came to us. Woo! I tell you what, there's probably a little space in some of your lives right now. I know there's space in some of your head, but I'm talking about in your life. There's probably a little bit of space. Now listen, and what you do next, what is your response? You're going to be responsible for. I received a nasty email from somebody that attended the ladies' conference. Everybody go, ooh. And I tell you what, I read that email. You know what my first response was? Get on there and respond. Reply in a non-Christian manner. You know, they were accusing us of things and accusing us of not doing things right. They accused us of all kinds of stuff in this area. And so I read the letter and I thought, well, I can handle that. I'm a big boy. I know how to handle stuff like that. And shared it with Darlene and said, don't reply to it. She said, don't reply to it. That's my wife's answer. Don't respond. Don't respond. Pretend it never happened. That's what she says. Pretend like it never happened. Well, how many knows that's hard to do when somebody's attacking your character or attacking your family or attacking your church or attacking your church family? So what did I do? What do you think I did? You can be sure I thought about it. And listen, if you listen to what I'm saying today and don't check out, just listen for the next few minutes, I'm going to save you a whole lot of trouble in your life. I'm going to save you a whole lot of heartache. I'm going to save you a whole lot of grief. Amen. Look at your neighbor right now. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you need space before you hit post. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you need space before you respond with an email. Or an Instagram or a text. Because the first thing we want to do when we get an ugly text is we want to respond. We don't even want to stop and think and pray about it, do we? I'll get even with them, bless God. They don't know who they're talking to. Their information. I'm going to stand up and defend this church. I've got a right to defend the sheep. But you know what? My attitude was not right. And thank God for a wife that knows how to correct her husband. I say that in love because there's times this boy needs help. Amen. But you know what? You'd save yourself a lot of trouble if when you get that text, you didn't just immediately respond and hit send. When you see that post on Facebook, well, bless God, I'm going to respond to that. Do you know there's Facebook wars going on? Facebook wars! It's all over the place. Amen. What we wouldn't have paid to learn that earlier. See, I just give you a life lesson. Do not hit send, respond, post so fast. Think about it. Between stimulus and... Okay, let's go on. Easter comes to say we have a Savior. He emptied the grave, all the power is in his name, and then he gave us that same power. Amen. He gave us grace. Oh, this is going to be good. He gave us grace in the space. Yeah. He gives us grace in the space. He gives us grace on the in-between. And if we will seek his counsel and his grace before we just respond from here, we're going to save ourselves a whole lot of heartache and maybe save some friends or so-called friends. Amen? Amen. Okay. So Jesus, everybody say, Jesus is my space maker. Every time I say that, I think about, was it Space Walker up the road here? Space Walker? Amen. Let's go on. I got to hurry. Now, Viktor Frankl, you know what he said? Between the stimulus and the response, he said, there is space. Now, I want to give you another philosopher's thoughts on the same thing.
His name is Willie Nelson. And and this is how philosopher Willie Nelson said it. Okay? What do you do between the initial and the part that where you get involved? Here's what Willie says. Well, I got to get drunk. And I sure do dread it. Because I know it's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to start spending my money and calling everybody honey and wind up singing the blues. I'll spend my whole paycheck on some old wreck. And brother, I could name you a few. But I'm going to get drunk and I sure do dread it because I just know what I'm going to do. Some people know what they're going to do before they ever get the message. You've already been premeditating. If they write me, here's what I'm going to say. Is this helping anybody today? I'm glad three of you came. Amen. So true. You might not be saying, I'm going to go get drunk. I'm going to get drunk. That's the only way I can handle my blues. But you might be saying, I'll find that sucker in Walmart and I'll get even with him. Or I'll find that guy at the gas station and I'll get even with him. I know how you think. Amen. You might as well say, I got to get drunk. I got to, you know, I got to go off. I got to, did you hear what they said about me? I'm going to go off on them. I've got to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it. You can't disrespect me like that. I'm going to do it anyway. Here's what you need to say. I got a God. Everybody say, I got a God. I don't got to do it anymore because I got a God. I don't have to defend myself because I've got a God. I'm trying to wrap all this into an Easter message this morning, but I'm kind of off on a little pig trail right now, so forgive me. We think about, we've got a God. If we'll give him time, he will give us the answers to the things that we think we have to respond to. Can I tell you something? Listen, you don't have to respond to every text. I'm talking about ugly text. Hello? I'm talking about those kind of texts that lights your fire. You don't have to respond to all those. You don't have to respond to every Facebook post that calls you names. Amen. All right, Pastor, let's get back to Easter. I've got a grave, but I've got a God that can turn it into a highway. Did you hear me? He turns graves into gardens. He turns seas, is that the next one? He turns seas into highway. Yeah, that's the kind of God we're serving today. Amen. Amen. So the women are standing at the grave. The angel says, go to Galilee. You can't stay here. Why do you want to stay at the empty grave? You know, get out of Dodge. There's nobody here. There's nothing happening here. Some people like to hang around the graveyards, don't they? They like to hang around the past. They can't let it go. I've got to hang on to that past. I can't forgive them. I can't let it go. I can't. You know what they did to me 25 years ago. So what? Why are you getting ulcers over it? Amen? Amen. So he says, he's telling the women, he said, he calls all the women together and he says, here's what I want you to do. Everybody say, thank God for the women. Come on, all the women say, hoo-hoo. Make some noise in this house today. He tells the women, now, Jesus is going to meet you 80 miles down the road. But first, I want you to go 1 mile down the road and find those disciples. Now, what do you think those disciples are doing? First of all, how many knows they ran in fear? They didn't even stay at the cross. They ran, all except one. They couldn't. They were full of fear. They were afraid that they were going to be persecuted and hung also. Where's the guys? What are they doing? I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're eating fish and chips, protein bars, Monster energy drinks, telling fish stories, and seeing who can pass gas and belch the loudest. It's a guy thing. I'm working on my grandson right now. rather than go 80 miles to see Jesus, the instructions is, before you go see Jesus, you better stop and tell those boys what you've seen and where you've been. Amen? They were afraid, but they ran. Amen. Every one of us have been through something. Maybe you're a former addict. Why don't you take what you've been through and help somebody that may be an addict in your life or your circle today? Why don't you, instead of criticizing, why don't you help? If you know somebody that's been abused, why don't you go to somebody, put your arm around them, and love on them, and help them to know that they can recover from the past? Amen? Some people say, well, I just don't know if I can make it through this season. I just don't know if I can get by in this stage of life. I just don't know if I have the fuel left to do it. I don't know if I have enough time. After all, I'm 75 years old. I don't know if I have enough time, you know, to do what I need to do. And I don't know if I've got a second wind. This whole Sunday hinges on a word that God is bringing to us today. And listen to this. It's found in verses 8 and 9. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. Can I? Let me just jump forward a little bit here, and let me just show you one more thing that Jesus, this angel said. Actually, let me just back up. Jesus met them on the way. Yeah, I like this. See if I can find it here in my notes. I've got it somewhere in here. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. What's that?
It's right under Matthew 28:8-9.
Have you got my notes?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I give her my notes every Saturday. Jesus met them on the way, but they didn't have to go the 80 miles. This is the good news. Jesus said, "You go," or the angel said, "You go into Galilee, and you, and I'll meet. And that Jesus will meet you there. But before you go, stop by the boys and kind of clean up the house a little bit, and then get on out to Galilee." But Jesus met them before they got to Galilee. He met them on the way. You know what that tells me? Sometimes we just need to step out of our pity parties. Sometimes we need to step out of the things that's pulling us down and say, you know what? I know God's in this picture somewhere. I'll walk the 80 miles if I have to. But likely Jesus will show up before you get to the end. He shows up on the way. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, everybody say, as they went. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. They didn't have to go the whole 80 miles to see him. I want to just tell somebody this morning, you don't have to go all that way. Jesus can show up in the middle of your stuff. Amen? Amen? Can you imagine these ladies? What are we going to do? We can't stay here at the grave. There's nothing here for us. We might as well do what this angel said and walk 80 miles to go see Jesus. But in between the time, they had to stop and see the guys. Now, here's what I want to get. Sister Becky, I'm going to skip over a couple pages right here. Sometimes we get so stressed out about things, and we get tired of waiting on God. After all, Lord, I prayed at midnight last night, and here it is 11:15, and you haven't come through yet today. I'm going to tell you something. God may not answer instantly, but he will always answer on time. I said, he'll always answer on time. And so we've got this idea, you know, God's not going to come through for me. But I want to say this. What if he does? Somebody says, why do you pray for the sick? They don't all get healed, but what if some do? Am I going to stop praying for the sick because half of the people get healed and the other half don't? Huh? Aren't we going to keep praying and ministering to people? What if God does show up? What if God does show up before your son goes to trial? What if God does show up before your mama dies of cancer? What if God shows up in the middle, just like he did with Daniel in the lion's den. He showed up. He was the in-between. He stood between Daniel and the lions. The Bible says they never got a bite, right? Don't you know those babies were hungry too? Amen. Something in between Daniel and those lions. How about those three Hebrew children? There was something between those three Hebrew children and that fire that was burning that day. How many of those Jesuses are in between? Can I just encourage you this morning? Trust him to make gardens out of graveyards. Trust him when you feel like you're being flooded and you're about to drown, that he can make a highway in the middle of an ocean. Amen. How many of you stay with me just a couple more minutes? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here so that you will believe that I'm almost finished. Listen, look at verse number 10. Here we are, verse number 10. Jesus said to the women, "Don't be afraid." Look at this. "Go tell my" what? "Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there." Go tell who? The ones that rejected Jesus? The ones that ran in fear? The very ones that actually couldn't stay by his side while he was going through his suffering? "Go tell my..." You mean you're still calling them brothers? A lot of people here this morning, you're still looking inside at all the guilt of the things that you did in your past. What you did, what you think you are, what you failed to live up to. But I want to tell you, there's nothing so wrong with your life that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse you from, Amen. Save you from. He's our in-between life and death. Let him be your in-between. You know where Jesus met them? In the middle. On the way to Galilee, he met them. And I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, on this Easter Sunday morning, it is a testimony that death cannot hold us back. Whether it's the death of a job, or the death of a bankruptcy, or maybe a marriage, or nothing can hold us back because God is in our middle. Is this? Am I making any sense today? Am I talking in circles? I don't know. I may be talking in circles. I'll listen to it after. I want to let you know. We shouldn't be surprised that he doesn't give up on us and he keeps his word. Amen? Where there was guilt, grace was greater. Did you hear me? Grace was greater. Jesus is standing between you and the Heavenly Father. He's got you by one hand. "Take my hand, son. Take my hand." And he wants to pull heaven together. He wants to pull you and the Heavenly Father together this morning. And I want to encourage you today, if you're in this building, in fact, let's everybody just stand real quick. Let's just stand to our feet. Don't anybody leave. We're going to have communion here in just a moment. It's only 11:20, so I'm doing good on time. I believe in this moment, just as it was said to the women, "Be not afraid." I believe you can hear the voice of the Lord saying, "Son, be not afraid. Daughter, be not afraid. I know you're afraid to step out and say yes to me because you wonder what your friends are going to say. You're afraid to serve me because you think I can't do it. I will fail." And I want to tell you, you're right. In yourself, you can't do it. But by the grace of God, because of the in-between, God's going to help you live for him to the fullest. You may be here this morning and you've argued with yourself. You've said, I can't live for God. People will make fun of me. I want to tell you something. In the last day, and there is going to be a last day. There is going to be a last day. In the last day, would you allow your friends to keep you from going to heaven and spend eternity in hell? Listen, Luke told me last week, and I totally agree, we need to talk more about hell, because there is a hell. Just as much as there is a heaven, there is a hell. We don't hear a lot about it in the modern church today. We hear a lot about heaven, but there is a hell also. And so right now, I want to just take a minute and pray with you. This is kind of an in-between moment right now. Right now, you are between the stimulus and the response. There's a space right here. What is your decision going to be? You can either say yes to Jesus and walk out of here the same way you did, or you can say, yes, Lord, I'm giving up my life to live your life through me. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care what your 401k looks like. What makes the difference is, where will you spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? How many knows we're not getting any younger? Every day is a day that we can't come back and pick up again. We're losing a day at a time, every minute, every hour. So in this in-between moment right now, would you allow the space-making Savior to come into your life? I promise I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to do something that would cause you to, everybody just to look at you. But I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask everybody in the church to pray this prayer with me. There may be somebody here that's here for the first time. There may be somebody here that's never received Jesus. And I want us to pray with them today. I want you to pray out loud with me. Now, this is not some kind of a magic trick. It's not some kind of a pull the rabbit out of the hat trick. You have to mean this with all your heart. You have to mean this with all of your heart. If you feel like this message today was for you, and you're ready to let Jesus be your in-between, He'll meet you. He'll meet you before you get to the end of your rope. He'll meet you. He'll meet you. Church family, pray this with me. Everybody pray this with me. Everybody that wants to come to Jesus today, pray it out loud with me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
today is my day of salvation.
Today is my day of salvation.
I am a sinner in need of a Savior.
I'm a sinner in need of a Savior.
And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe He's the Savior of the world.
I believe He's the Savior of the world.
I believe that He died and rose again. To give me eternal life.
To give me eternal life.
Now I receive this new life by faith.
Now I receive this new life by faith.
This is my new beginning.
This is my new beginning.
This is my resurrection day.
This is my resurrection day.
I'm a brand new person in Christ Jesus.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God. Say it out loud, everybody. I am a child of God. Because you prayed that prayer, not because you came to church, not because you gave in the offering, not because you read your Bible, but because you prayed that prayer and said, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. You are now a child of God. Don't let some religious, traditional person tell you that you've got to do all these other things. Nowhere does it say shake hands with a preacher. Nowhere does it say you got to join a church. Nowhere does it say you got to commit to just doing something you can't do. God enables us to do what He's calling us to do. And so this morning, if you prayed that prayer, here's what I want you to do. I want every head bowed for just a moment. If you prayed that prayer while every head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you prayed that prayer because you know that God is calling your name and you needed to do it today. Whether you've been away from God for a long time, whether you just departed last month, or you've never had a relationship, if you prayed that prayer with us this morning, would you just lift your hand up real quickly? Just hold up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I thank you for these hands that were raised this morning. I thank you, Father, for the born again experience. And I thank you this morning that you are turning graves into gardens. Sing it, guys. Sing it, guys.
I've searched the world.
Come on, sing it with us.